Lord God, we thank you in Jesus' name. How you've proved it over and over and over and over, the beauty that you can do anything. Lord, you are Alpha Omega, and you are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we can do nothing without you. Lord, there isn't anything to be written upon us except you. Lord, thank you that we truly are. We're just this precious clay, and you are the potter. And Lord, we come to you, God, with that assurance, full assurance of faith believing. If you be for us, who could be against us? That you will perform the good work which you have begun in us, Lord God. And Lord, you promised that you will perfect that which concerns us, Lord God. And here we are, Lord, all of us, a very, very, very needy people. And Lord, thank you that you meet all our needs. And here we are in your name, and we have come boldly to this wonderful throne of grace to obtain the wealth of mercy. The wealth of mercy. And we thank you for it in the highest, and we will thank you for your tender mercies forever and ever. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn on over to 2 Chronicles today. We'll be moving through the Word of God, as you've heard me say many times before. How could you have a sermon without a Bible study? And how could you have a Bible study without a sermon? So I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost that takes us into all truth. And I'm so thankful for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, who does it with love shed abroad in our hearts. If you want inspiration in life, there's one place you're ever going to get it, and that's from the Holy Ghost. And I thank God for it. Now, in 2 Chronicles, you were reading from 16:9 to begin today. And it says there, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." So his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He's telling us he's searching, isn't he? Praise be to God. Oh, how he seeks. And it's his passion, brothers and sisters, over everything to do this. We read this and we take this encouragement so sweetly from the Old Testament, but God so graced us, we even have the New Testament. And because of the encouragement and the better thing that God has seen for us, he made it even more clear what he is searching for. If you turn on over to Matthew chapter 13, here's the depth and the height and the length and the breadth of his love that we enjoy, that we know if we simply will hear his word. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." And here is what he's saying to us at this time, and thanks be to God, what a wealth it is. In Matthew 13, in verse 45, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." You go on over to John chapter 4. It gets a little bit more specific to us of who exactly this is and how valuable and truly the expression and the revelation of who this goodly pearl would be. In John 4:23, it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Praise the Lord. I thank God that this has become our reality. You do become what you eat. What you feed upon is what will grow. What you will continue to nourish your body with, praise be to God, it will become manifest. I thank the Lord for the simplicity of hearing over and over in this place. You want corn? You don't plant things like radishes. You want corn? You plant corn. You want beans? You plant beans. You want to be in the bride of Christ? You plant Paul's gospel. And you plant it, praise God, with spirit, and truth. Amen. You plant it with truth and love. You'll grow up into him in all things. That's a mighty powerful duo. The truth is love. We know that. The word of God. God is love. But I will assure you that without the love of the Holy Ghost shed abroad in our hearts, we have basically run beating the air and not with the full purpose to run. It's truth in love. It is spirit and truth. If you desire to be this true worshiper who the Father is seeking for his Son, you will be the one that draws nigh in fervent love to kiss him. To kiss him. Praise the Lord. It's become our reality, hasn't it? I thank the Lord that somehow when God gives you a vision, it's not seen at afar off. You see it from within yourself. I thank the Lord. He puts me right there. We're walking through the revelations in Revelation. I'll tell you, for those that truly believe, aren't you there? I mean, come on. We're not just reading a story. Praise be to God. We're getting ready. We're taking place. We're seated in the heavens in Christ right now. So thanks be to God. I don't know how the Spirit does it, but he's transporting me to all these places to see, praise God, what I believe by grace I'm going to enjoy fully with him. Amen. Now, I thank God. I can say the same thing, and I believe you'll testify of this too, Esther. I'll tell you what, I'm just like her. There's been a decree throughout the kingdom. Bring in all them virgins. The king's going to pick one. And I wasn't even part of that kingdom. I wasn't even there. Somehow, some way, God divinely, just like he did for Esther, that orphan child, he had to take away her parents. And those things can be such a tragedy. It always is a tragedy. Don't get me wrong. But God had more for her. And she couldn't stay with parents that would bring her up in a loving way and all of these different things to have God's best. It had to be that way. And there he divinely ordered everything that people would call a tragedy, that it would be over, that there'd be no hope for her. And God said, oh no, I'm just setting the stage all up because I've chosen her. And here we are. And every one of us, by the grace of God, who have taken this truth in love, understand our life is truly an Esther, how God has drawn us to hear this and put us in that place. I didn't even know going what I would go for, but God knew. He knew what he'd prepared, and he knew what he'd prepare in my heart just like he did Esther. Oh, this is what's going to happen. Well, I'm just taking a walk of faith. And he keeps opening it up and opening it up and opening it up. And here we are, praise be to God. We arrived in the kingdom at the exact certain time that the queen that was there said, I'm not showing up. She got benched and I'm going to find another. And that's the truth. So here I am and here you are by the grace of God. And thanks be to God, it is in one spirit. We go into this. Isn't that beautiful? It's one body and we're tightly fit, compacted together. So don't think that it's anything but the unity of the Spirit when we hear this precious truth. But God does deal with us individually and it's a precious thing. But I thank the Lord. I know how valuable, praise God, are the brethren to my life and my life to the brethren. Praise be to God. So he called all these virgins in, and thanks be to God, here we are. And it said that, you know, she had that appointment, just like we, to walk before the king. And oh, did we catch his eye. There's something about grace and mercy and just a thankful heart before the Lord that says, Lord, I don't even understand this. I don't know why, but thanks be to God you told me this is for me, and I'm going to believe you to perform this in my life. And his heart desired her. His heart desired you. And it says in that precious song, Esther, the book of Esther, Song of Solomon, says it in another way, the same message. But it says there that the king loved her above all the other women. Above. It didn't mean that he didn't love all the other ones. He loved them fully. But see, this is God, and God knows what you'll share with him. See, it's a higher love. It's not necessarily more love. It isn't. I thought about that for my own family. How could I compare the love for my wife or my children or my parents or my siblings? I love them. I don't love one more than the other, but there's different love that we have within that. But there is an above love that I have with a joint heir who happens to be my spouse. The king loved them all, but there was something that the king knew I can share with you because my heart is yours. And it went on to say, not only did he loved her above, it said, she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the other virgins. See, we've all been given all grace, but how much will you take? By God's grace, I pray we would take all of it. That's why the Apostle Paul, he said, I don't want to make the grace of God vain in my life, empty in my life. It's all there. And the way that I make it empty in my life is I don't take everything that God has given. He's given us all grace. And we're talking about all grace to jointly rule and reign with his Son, to be glorified together with his Son. To not just be standing before the throne someday, which is a wonderful place, but there's an above place that you could have right there in the midst of the throne with him, looking out on all of it, watching all of that glory, praise be to God, and understanding, praise the Lord, because you took all grace, you grew up in the very glory for him. Now, notice back in our text why he searches for that perfect one. Why this one that obtained the more grace? What did it say back there? To show himself strong. See, the perfect always need strengthening. Did you hear that? The perfect always need strengthening. The perfect know that they're weak. The perfect, praise God, need to be built up always. The perfect need to be supported. They need to be helped to continue on, not to veer off course. They need continual feeding and sustaining in more and more grace. I believe the Word of God says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Paul, he understood that this was who he was completely. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God, didn't he? And over in 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn there, in the 12th chapter, he lets it be known, and he lets it be known to us, and he's encouraging us by the Spirit, let this be us too. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, oh, what a rejoicing this is for all of us. I praise God and believe him. Lord, let me enter into this fully. In the 9th verse, Paul says this, and I believe by the grace of God, as Paul said, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He's speaking to me. My grace is sufficient for thee. Thank you, Jesus. My grace is sufficient for thee, for everything. But here's specifically why. For my strength. See, we're back to him showing himself strong. For my strength. Oh, and look at that word we got here, is made perfect. In them that are perfect. My strength is made perfect in them that are perfect. Where? In weakness. In weakness. Wow, that kind of gets me thinking a whole different way about ones that truly have an anointing upon their lives. In weakness. It says here, well, then most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Isn't that interesting? We sure love to show our strength, don't we? Let me show you my best side. I don't have one, but if I did, let me show it to you, huh? How about being thankful when the Lord exposes your weakness? How about being thankful as a body of Christ when the Lord shows us maybe our brother's weakness and infirmity? Thank God for you, honey. I thank the Lord for you. You know why? Because that's the power of Christ resting upon you. That's the only time it will. Those that think they're so strong in the Lord because of the way they are or who they are or what they know, they're not. This is truly done in a humility, in a contrite heart, in a contrite spirit, in a broken heart. I'm just going to tell you, brothers and sisters, this is who he's looking for. And Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure. Not only is he glorying in his infirmities, now he's going to pleasure in his infirmities. I better see some real happy people going out of here today. Really happy people. Because I know you're pretty good. Thank you, Lord, because you know what? I know this guy. And if he's dealing with us with this message, we're just like one another. Thank you, Lord. So, you know what? I'm going to take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in my needs, in my necessities. I love being reproached for Christ's sake, but what about my needs? I'm glad you're quiet. I want you to really think about those needs. Thank you. I thank him with you. He's dealing with me. Now, in my needs, in persecutions. Now, here we go to another one, distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. There's that strong again. All for those that are perfect, that are made perfect because they're weak. They're infirm. There's distresses. There's needs. There's persecutions. There's reproaches. Just throw it all in there. God made you exactly like he made you. Thank him. Thank him. Rejoice. You can tell him over and over, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to be like this. How about allowing the Holy Ghost to turn this around in your life and saying, Lord, thank you, I am like I am. That I come to you just like that man that bowed his head, struck his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God works perfect in that. God works perfect in that. My strength. The perfect always need to be strengthened. The perfect always know that they are the ones with the greatest infirmities and weaknesses. I'm just giving you the Word of God. Thank Him. Let the mind of Christ reign in you. This is the mind of Christ. I'm not talking about religious man or self-righteous man or man that's going to tell you exactly how to live your life, man. I want the mind of Christ in me. I want that mind that meets me at a well. And not just a Rebecca, I'm talking about a cast-out Samaritan woman too. All these things. Just let Him flood you with it. Praise God. These are the ones that know that when they're weak, then they're strong. Because they want to revel in the glory of God that rests upon them. I testify to you. I thank the Lord. So many things that God has brought forth in my life over the past 5-6 years. Especially over the last few years and things of that nature. Things that I never knew were inside of me. Things I never wanted to see that were inside of me. And now I thank God for that infirmity. He's opened up this word and things I'd never seen. He's given me utterance in the Spirit, I'm telling you. I could have never preached the depths of His grace that He's given. The revelation of mercy. I pray you're receiving it. Because I'll tell you what. It's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's the full mercy seat. I see it more and more all the time. And I thank the Lord. Yeah, the likes of me, the likes of you. This is what He wants for us. Now, these are the ones that know to receive His full glory. Praise God. You know what? It's got to be all Him. To have His full glory, it's got to be all grace. It's got to be all His mercy. It's got to be all His doing. So in that, we know that by the grace of God, that's going to be a humble and a lowly sort. It's not going to be one that's seeking out reputation. No. Did you hear that? Lowly, meek, of no reputation. Sounds a lot like Jesus. Well, the Word of God says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He came as a lowly one. He came as that one, praise the Lord. He wanted to save the lost. He wanted to restore, praise God, the outcast, the downtrodden ones. Amen? He didn't hang with the self-righteous. They stunk to Him. They stunk to Him. Even sweet Peter, how much he loved him. He told him bluntly, Peter, will you finally get it? You're telling me how faithful you are and how much you do this and this and this and the other guys, they might do this, but I won't. I'm never going to leave you. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Listen to that. Really listen to that. Listen to ones that, and if you're one that would do this, that continue just to preach to people how they should live, or how great you live, and how great you are, I'll give you the scripture, get thee behind me, Satan. Let me tell you something. Peter, son of God. Praise the Lord. We're now the sons of God. Praise the Lord. But we can have that unbelief upon us. We can have that truly the enemy getting to us with self-righteousness. Do you understand that? How did Peter finally learn that? Peter, I'm going to show you how weak you are. I'm going to show you how infirm you are. Let me tell you something, the last thing I want to do, I mean as a Christian, the last thing I'd want to do, and especially right in front of Jesus, I don't know Him. Tell me what's worse than that. Really, think about the worst thing you could ever do. Right in front of the Lord, as he's suffering and going to the cross for me. Think of that. That's the last thing I'd want to do. But Christ, in his grace, brought Peter to his bottom to show him how unfaithful he was, how self-righteous he was, how he was comparing himself amongst everybody else he was. But I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. Peter, I'm going to show you because I love you. The perfect had to go that way of Peter. Peter, I got a place for you. You're going to be on one of them 12 thrones, ruling over the 12 tribes. I'm going to work it. Because, and I'm not sweating it, Peter, because I've prayed for you. It's like every one of us. This ain't even on this page. This rich, praise God. Rich is on the page too. Thank you, Jesus. So finally, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you something here. Who are them that are perfect then? Who are they? Well, we know who they're not. Let's talk about who they're not for just a second. Galatians 3:3 tells us who they're not. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's not who they are. He's telling you real clear. It's not them. It's not them that are seeking after self-righteousness to be made perfect. Them that are going to somehow keep something. That's not them. Abstain from meats, all of the different things. This was Paul coming to them at this time. Peter was caught up in it. Barnabas was caught up in it. All of these ones. I mean, we're talking about ones. Barnabas, a man that was full and powerful in the Holy Ghost, would go and preach Paul's gospel with him. But for the grace of God, we'd be right there. So I know that the perfect are not going to be the ones that are trying to be perfected in their flesh. Amen? Amen? Amen. So now then, who are these ones that are perfect? Who are these ones that are this precious encouragement that the Lord is seeking for? Well, they're not the ones that are enamored with their flesh. They're not the ones that are enamored with my flesh. They're not the ones that are beholden to judging everything and everybody according to the flesh. They're certainly not the perfect. But the ones that are perfect, that have received such high favor and grace and absolute devotion and attention, let's go on over to Hebrews 10:14 and conclude this for today. There's something about the Word of God and how concise, exact, and right this two-edged sword does it immediately. In Hebrews 10:14, he tells us who the perfect are. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It's you. It's you. Did you read that again? It's not he's perfecting. Nope. 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 See, he knows what he's done. He knows what's there in his finished work, doesn't he? Do you understand that? See, that's already been done for me. I just grow up into it by faith. Righteousness comes by faith. It's the faith of righteousness. We rejoiced on that, what's that, Friday night? Sweet Abraham, he was the heir of the whole world. Not because of acts, not because of works, not because of things he did. It was because of the righteousness of faith. Think of that. If you're the heir of the whole world, you'd be thinking, wow, that's pretty amazing. But God's given us a better thing. He said, joint heirs together with his son. That's all the same way. The righteousness of faith. The righteousness of faith. Everything comes by faith. Everything comes by just believing him. Praise the Lord. Read it again. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Praise God. And whom he justified, them he glorified, sanctified. All of those beautiful things. He set us apart to him. It's us. Here we are, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, because of his finished work, praise the Lord, we are given this grace of the perfected ones. And he seeks out to show himself strong. I thank the Lord. I'm just sitting here with one big goodly pearl. Isn't that something? Rejoice in the word of God. Thank the Lord. This is something to be glad about. Sing songs of praise. Praise God. It's not by feeling. It's not by man. This don't look good. It's by faith. Do we believe this? I believe that he has given us this message. He's given us this word. He sends it. He performs it. He accomplishes it in the thing that he sent it to. And I thank the Lord. He has done that. And I glory in him. I glory in him. I glory in what he's given us. And I thank God that he sold all that he had. Praise God. And the Father offered him up once to die. He gave it all for us. He did that all for us so he could have us. Now, that's how, by the grace of God, you fall in love with him. It's truly that simple. When you begin to truly see what he's done and all of this immensity of wealth, because he loves us. See, when you love someone, I mean truly love them completely, fully, you want them to share everything. You don't want anything to be held back. You want them to participate in everything with you. I'm talking about when you're head over heels in love. There's no reservation. And that's how Christ Jesus is with us. He wants us to know it. He wants us to believe it. And then what happens is we understand he's fully in love with us. And then we fall in love with him. Then you begin to really understand he does love me as a spouse. There is this bridegroom, Jesus. He happens to be my Savior too. He happens to be my best friend too. I hear about those wonderful stories. Sometimes the best of friends, here they are. They fell in love.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's always been your best friend, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But praise be to God, fall in love. Because he's in love from the very beginning. And I thank the Lord. That's when you begin to really hear the bridegroom's voice. Not only the Savior's voice, not only your best friend's voice, but the voice of the lover of your soul. And you begin, praise God, to be ready for his voice. And ready, praise the Lord. God, you've called me to an out resurrection. Just like Paul, he began to get that readiness, hallelujah, in his heart. Oh, if by any means. All of those infirmities and all of those weaknesses and everything, praise be to God, you've been seeking me to show yourself strong so that I would know you as my bridegroom. That I'd be listening for that one rapture. That I would hear, praise God, his voice for the out resurrection. Let him be strong.
Amen.
Let him be strong. by the grace of God, praise Him that you're weak. Amen. Thank Him for your infirmities. And praise Him all the way for the glory that we're being made for Him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the hearts the things that I have prepared for you.
Amen.
But my spirit
yes,
is revealing
oh, yes.
the things I have prepared for you.
Oh, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, we again are in awe of this grace. The praise, Lord, that comes forth out of our hearts. The vessels of mercy that you bestow the riches of your glory upon. Lord, help us to truly take that step into more and more faith, believing you. You have been given to us. And made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have it all. And Lord, let us just grow up in it. Grow up into you in all things. Understanding truly, Lord God, this is your will and it is your pleasure. And Lord, to praise you and to be thankful always and in all things. And that truly we would settle down and dwell together in this love that you have given. We thank you for the privilege of it. Thank you again for allowing us to feast upon you this morning. We give you all the praise now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen.